Chapter 12. How Sir Tristram departed from the king and La Belle Isoud out of Ireland for to come into Cornwall. Sir, said Tristram, now I shall tell you all the truth. My father's name is Sir Meliodas, king of Leonis, and my mother hight Elizabeth, that was sister unto King Mark of Cornwall. And my mother died of me in the forest, and because thereof she commanded, or she died, that when I were christened, they should christen me Tristram. And because I would not be known in this country, I turned my name, and let me call Tramtrist. And for the truage of Cornwall, I fought for my Emmy's sake, and for the right of Cornwall, that ye had posseded many years. And wit ye well, said Tristram unto the king, I did the battle for the love of mine uncle, King Mark, and for the love of the country of Cornwall, and for to increase mine honour. For that same day that I fought with Sir Marhaus, I was made knight, and never or then did I battle with no knight. And from me he went alive, and left his shield and his sword behind. Page 324. So God help me, said the king. I may not say, but ye did as a knight should, and it was your part to do for your quarrel, and to increase your worship as a king, as a knight should. Howbeit, I may not maintain you in this country with my worship, unless that I should displease my barons, and my wife, and her kin. Sir, said Tristram, I thank you of your good lordship that I have had with you here, and the great goodness my lady your daughter hath showed me. And therefore, said Sir Tristram, it may so happen that ye shall win more by my life than by my death, for in the parts of England it may happen I may do you service at some season, and ye shall be glad that ever ye showed me your good lordship. With more I promise you, as I am true knight, that in all places I shall be my lady your daughter's servant and knight in right and wrong, and I shall never fail her to do as much as a knight might do. Also, I beseech your good grace, that I may take leave at my lady, your daughter, and at all the barons and knights. I will well, said the king. Then Sir Tristram went unto La Belle Isoud, and took his leave of her. And then he told her all, what he was, and how he had changed his name, because he would not be known, and how a lady told him that he should never be whole until he came into this country, where the poison was made. And where, though I was near my death, had not your ladyship been. O gentle knight, said La Belle Isoud, full of woe am I of thy departing, for I saw never man that I ought so good will to. And therewithal she wept heartily. Madam, said Sir Tristram, ye shall understand that my name is Sir Tristram de Leonis, gotten of King Meliodas, and born of his queen, and I promise you faithfully that I shall be all the days of my life your knight. Gramercy, said La Belle Isoud, and I promise you there against that I shall not be married this 7 years, but by your assent. And to whom that ye will, I shall be married to, him will I have, and he will have me if ye will consent. Page 325. And then Sir Tristram gave her a ring, and she gave him another, and therewith he departed from her, leaving her making great dole and lamentation. And he went straight unto the court among all the barons, and there he took his leave at most and least meaning of every one. And openly he said among them all, Fair lords, now it is so that I must depart. If there be any man here that I have offended unto, or that any man be with me grieved, let complain him here afore me, or that ever I depart, and I shall amend it unto my power. And if there be any that will proffer me wrong, or say of me wrong or shame behind my back, say it now or never, and here is my body to make it good, body against body. And all they stood still, and there was not one that would say one word. Yet there were some knights that were of the queen's blood, and of Sir Marhaus's blood, but they would not meddle with him. Chapter 13. How Sir Tristram and King Mark hurted each other for the love of a knight's wife. So Sir Tristram departed and took the sea, and with good wind he arrived at Tintagel in Cornwall. When King Mark was whole in his prosperity, there came tidings that Sir Tristram was arrived, and whole of his wounds, and thereof was King Mark passing glad, and so were all the barons. And when he saw his time, he rode unto his father, King Meliodas, and there he had all the cheer that the king and the queen could make him. And then largely King Meliodas and his queen departed of their lands and goods to Sir Tristram. Then by the license of King Meliodas, his father, he returned again unto the court of King Mark, and there he lived in great joy a long time, until at last there befell a jealousy and an unkindness betwixt King Mark and Sir Tristram, for they loved both one lady. Page 326. And she was an earl's wife that hight Sir Segwarides. And this lady loved Sir Tristram passing well, and he loved her again, for she was a passing fair lady, and that espied Sir Tristram well. Then King Mark understood that and was jealous, for King Mark loved her passingly well. So it fell upon a day this lady sent a dwarf unto Sir Tristram and bade him, as he loved her, that he would be with her that night next following. Also she charged you that ye should not come to her, but if ye be well armed, for her lord was called a good knight. Sir Tristram answered to the dwarf, Recommend me unto my lady, and tell her I will not fail her, but I will be with her the term that she hath set me. And with this answer the dwarf departed, and King Mark espied that the dwarf was with Sir Tristram upon the message from Segwarides' wife. And then King Mark sent for the dwarf, and when he was coming, he made the dwarf by force to tell him all, and why and wherefore that he had come on message from Sir Tristram. Now, said King Mark, go where thou wilt, and upon pain of death that thou say no word that thou spakest with me. So the dwarf departed from the king. And from that same night, that was the Stephen, and Stephen means assignation, that same night was set betwixt Segwarides' wife and Sir Tristram, King Mark armed him and made him ready, and took two knights of his council with him, so that he rode afore for to abide by the way, for to await upon Sir Tristram. And as Sir Tristram came riding upon his way with his spear in his hand, King Mark came hurtling upon him with his two knights suddenly. And all three smote him with their spears, and King Mark hurt Sir Tristram on the breast right sore. And then Sir Tristram feutred his spear, and smote his uncle, King Mark, so sore that he rashed him to the earth, and bruised him that he lay still in a swoon, and long it was or ever he might wield himself. And then he ran to the one knight, and elf to the other, and smote them to the cold earth, and they lay still. And therewithal Sir Tristram rode forth sore wounded to the lady, and found her abiding him at a postern. Page 327. Chapter 14. How Sir Tristram lay with the lady, and how her husband fought with Sir Tristram. And there she welcomed him fair, and either halsed other in arms, and so she let him put up his horse in the best wise, and then she unarmed him. And so they supped lightly, and went to bed with great joy and pleasance. And so in his raging he took no keep of his green wound that King Mark had given him, and so Sir Tristram be bled both the oversheet and the nether, and pillows and headsheets. And within a while there came one afore that warned her that her lord was near at hand with a bow draught. So she made Sir Tristram to arise, and so he armed him and took his horse, and so departed. By then was come Segwarides, her lord, and when he found her in bed, he found her bed troubled and broken, and went near and beheld it by candlelight. Then he saw that there had lain a wounded knight. "Ah, false traitress," then he said, "why hast thou betrayed me?" And therewithal he swung out a sword and said, "But if thou tell me who hath been here, here thou shalt die." "Ah, my lord, mercy," said the lady, and held up her hand, saying, "slay me not, I shall tell you all who hath been here." "Tell anon," said Segwarides, to me all the truth." Anon, for dread, she said, "Here was Sir Tristram with me, and by the way, as he came to me ward, he was sore wounded." "Ah, false traitress," said Segwarides, "where is he become?" "Sir," she said, "he is armed, and hath departed on horseback, not yet hence half a mile." Page 328. "Ye say well," said Segwarides. Then he armed him lightly and got his horse and rode after Sir Tristram, that rode straightway into Tintagel. And within a while he overtook Sir Tristram, and then he bade him, "Turn, false traitor knight." And Sir Tristram anon turned him against him, and therewithal Segwarides smote Sir Tristram with a spear, that it all to brast, and then he swung out his sword and smote fast at Sir Tristram. "Sir knight," said Sir Tristram, "I counsel you that ye smite no more. Howbeit, for the wrongs that I have done you, I will forbear you as long as I may." "Nay," said Segwarides, "that shall not be, for either thou shalt die or I." Then Sir Tristram drew out his sword and hurtled his horse unto him fiercely, and through the waist of the body he smote Sir Segwarides, that he fell to the earth in a swoon. And so Sir Tristram departed and left him there. And so he rode unto Tintagel and took his lodging secretly, for he would not be known that he was hurt. Also Sir Segwarides' men rode after their master, whom they found lying in the field sore wounded, and brought him home on his shield, and there he lay long, or that he were whole, but at the last he recovered. Also King Mark would not be unknown that Sir Tristram and he had met that night. And as for Sir Tristram, he knew not that King Mark had met with him. And so the king's assistants came to Sir Tristram to comfort him as he lay sick in his bed. But as long as King Mark lived, he loved never Sir Tristram after that. Though there was fair speech, love was there none. And thus it passed many weeks and days, and all was forgiven and forgotten, for Sir Segwarides durst not have ado with Sir Tristram, because of his noble prowess, and also because he was nephew unto King Mark, therefore to let it overslip. For he that hath a privy hurt is loath to have a shame outward. Page 329. Chapter 15. How Sir Bleoberis demanded the fairest lady in King Mark's court, whom he took away, and how he was foughten with. Then it befell upon a day that the good King Bleoberis de Ganis, brother to Balmore de Ganis, and nigh cousin unto the good knight Sir Launcelot du Lake, this Bleoberis came unto the court of King Mark, and there he asked of King Mark a boon, to give him a gift that he would ask in his court. When the king heard him ask so, he marveled of his asking, but because he was a knight of the Round Table and of great renown, King Mark granted him his whole asking. Then said Sir Bleoberis, "I will have the fairest lady in your court that me list to choose." "I may not say nay," said King Mark, "now choose at your adventure." And so Sir Bleoberis did choose Sir Segwarides' wife, and he took her by the hand, and so went his way with her. And so he took his horse, and Gart set her behind his squire, and rode upon his way. When Sir Segwarides heard tell that his lady was gone with a knight of King Arthur's court, then he armed him, and rode after that knight for to rescue his lady. So when Bleoberis was gone with this lady, King Mark and all the court was wroth that she was away. Then there were certain ladies that